Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, my next guest this morning, they're the author and former children's laureate Siobhan Parkinson and her son, the Little Island publisher Matthew Parkinson Bennett. They're here to tell us about the republication of Siobhan's very first book, which was written to explain to Matthew, who was then only six, about the stillbirth of his baby brother Daniel. Well, next weekend would have been Daniel's 30th birthday, so it's wonderful to see that the book, inspired by him, called All Shining in the Spring, is back on bookshelves again. And hopefully it will help more families deal with the loss of a baby. And Siobhan and Matthew join me now. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning, Miriam.
Lovely to chat to you both. Listen, Siobhan, it was the death of your precious little baby, Daniel, that began you in the path towards this book. Tell me what happened to him, Siobhan.
Well, at about 7 months, I was diagnosed. It was diagnosed that the baby wasn't going to survive. I don't really want to go into the details, yeah, but we knew that he was going to be born, either born dead or would die within minutes of birth. So we, at this stage, we had been building up our older boy, Matthew, into a great stage of excitement about having a new brother or sister. And suddenly we had to turn around and say, actually, you know something, this is not going to happen. So this was a really tricky thing for us to negotiate, as you can imagine. Mm. We did it very gradually. The way we began by saying the baby's not well, the baby's sick, and the doctors are worried. And eventually, actually, the child himself picked it up. He actually asked, is the baby going to die? So I didn't have to tell him. All I had to do was confirm his own intuition about it. And so then the baby did die just exactly at birth. He gave one little gasp and he died. And actually a lovely thing happened. I want to tell you this little story. When the baby was born, the midwife handed him into my arms the way you would with any baby. And she hesitated for a moment. And then she said, congratulations on your little boy. And that was the most touching thing that anybody ever did through the whole. I mean, it was absolutely perfect. And I went to see her afterwards a few days later and to tell her that she had said that, you know, that had been such a lovely thing for her to say. And she said she was worried that I might have taken it amiss, but I thought it was just so moving. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I found with this whole experience is the kindness of people and how compassionate people are. You know, when you're in a situation like that, people really do come, you know, they come good.
That's so interesting. And just before we talk to Matthew, and the lovely thing is Matthew is with us as well this morning, but yeah, how did you deal with that, Siobhan? Like, I mean, any of us who've been pregnant, had a baby, and then, and that was an extraordinary thing the midwife did say, but how did you deal with the loss yourself?
Well, I just dealt with it. I mean, I cried a lot, I grieved, but I was very open about it. My husband and I kind of agreed in advance that we weren't going to, you know, in a way, see, a stillbirth does give you the opportunity that people know you're pregnant, you look pregnant, they're asking you when the baby's going to be born. So you do have to tell people about it. It's not like a miscarriage, which is very hidden, very private. Mm. But a stillbirth does give you, it is a real baby that's registered, who's, you know, whose birth is registered. And so, you know, there's a kind of a public side to it, which is very, very helpful because your baby is acknowledged. So at the time that Daniel was born, actually, I don't think birth certificates were available for babies that died at birth. But there was a campaign in around those years. And a few years later, that became kind of normal, which I think is really, to me, it didn't matter. I didn't care about that birth certificate or not. But to a lot of people, that kind of acknowledgement is really important. So we had a funeral in the hospital. We had a little funeral. Now, it wasn't like a funeral you'd have for a grown-up person. But friends did come, family did come. It was really very helpful, all that. And then in the story, the baby is buried, but in fact, it was a cremation. And so we scattered the ashes in a very special place. And then we planted bulbs. And I remember we were going down the country to where we were going to scatter the ashes, or where we had scattered the ashes, actually. And we stopped at a garden centre to get some bulbs for the grave. And Roger got out of the car and came back, and he was looking a bit glum. And he said, they didn't have many bulbs. So I got daffodils, but they only had yellow tulips and yellow crocuses. And we kind of looked at each other and said, that's a bit bleak, only one colour. And then I said, well, actually, you know, that's really kind of nice. You know, everything, it'll be all yellow. And Matthew piped up in the back of the car, oh, it'll be all shining when the spring comes. And it was just such a lovely kind of hopeful turn a phrase. So that's where the title of the book came from, All Shining in the Spring.
And Matthew, the lovely thing is your parents were as worried about you and your grief. And sometimes parents can forget about other children. You were just six, as I said at the beginning. Do you remember anything from that time, Matthew?
I do. As with anything, when you're that age, my memory is sort of patchy, but I do have some very strong, very vivid memories. I guess the main memory I have is more like an emotional memory. Mm. I remember, you know, the strength of the sadness, and the feeling, and also the emotional confusion, which you have as a child, which an adult would have faced with that sort of situation as well, but particularly what you have as a child. But the book that then came from it, I mean, I suppose in a sense, probably, I was a welcome distraction for my parents, as in they could kind of focus on helping me through it. And the book that Siobhan then wrote certainly was a huge thing for me in helping me to process the experience. But of course, initially it was a private thing in our family. It was, you know, it wasn't a book, printed book. It was typed pages. Which then went on to be published.
And Siobhan, the interesting thing is your line is actually very bad, Matthew, but I think it's okay to stay with it. Siobhan, it was interesting, when you went looking for things to help you explain to six-year-old Matthew what had happened, you couldn't find anything.
No, there was nothing. The only books about death for children were about hamsters or goldfish or a step up from that was grandparents. And of course, you would hope that your child's first experience of death would be a hamster or a goldfish or a cat or a dog. And they learn that, and that's how they learn to grieve and how they understand death. And then maybe their next experience might be the loss of a grandparent. And that's the norm. So that's what the books that were out there, you know, were for the normal situation. But this was an abnormal situation. And in fact, not only could I not find a book, but people were kind of shocked that I was even looking for such a book. And people thought, quite a few people thought that this is a thing that really shouldn't be talked about. And this is 30 years ago. And I think Ireland has changed a lot in the meantime. But I don't think there's been a book about this since. Now, I can't say for sure because I haven't done a survey or anything, but I've never come across a book for children about stillbirth in the meantime. So I think this book really is fulfilling, not so much filling a gap in the market, it's fulfilling a requirement that families have, sadly, still.
But interestingly, it kind of set you off on the path as a writer, because you decided, I can't find anything, I'll write it myself.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. So I wrote it and we had it among ourselves initially. And then I went to talk to a publisher about it. And then I went back to Matthew then and I said, listen, this is your book. But we have the opportunity to publish it for other families and for other children. What do you think? And he was taken aback because, as far as he was concerned, as he said earlier, it was a private thing, it was ours. But then I gave him a few days and he came back to me after a few days and he said, I've thought about what you said and I've thought about how other families, he was a bit older at this stage, he didn't get published immediately. He was maybe about 8 or 9 at this stage. And he said, yeah, I thought about what you said, other children. Yeah. And I know that you couldn't find a book that would help you and us at the time. So I think we should make this available for other families. So that was a lovely thing that he kind of gave it his imprimatur.
Yeah, and Matthew, the other lovely thing is 30 years later, you're the man republishing this book. And you also appear in the story and you're illustrated by drawings from Donald Teskey. What's the whole experience like for you now?
It's a funny one, Miriam. Not many people working in publishing will ever publish a book in which they are the main character. you know, let alone a book of this nature, you know, about a very personal, true story. From their childhood. So it's a funny one, but I'm just really, really pleased to have the opportunity to bring it back into print because, as Siobhan said, there is a lack of books of this sort. You know, in the intervening 30 years, society has probably become more open to discussing infant death and things like miscarriage and stillbirth and so on, but still not to a huge extent. I think a lot of people are unaware of these things and are not very spoken about. So it's really great to be able to bring this book out to to provide a resource for children who need it, and for also for parents and siblings who need it, or friends or classmates of kids who are going through this kind of thing, to help them understand it. But also to not to break a taboo as such, but to just make something available on this topic, which is kind of under-discussed and which a lot of people encounter. And as we've been planning to publish this book, we're speaking to a lot of different people. For example, some foreign publishers about the possibility of their translating it. And a really large number of people that we speak to about it say something like that happened to me, or something like that happened in my family when I was a child, or it happened to my sister or something. So there's a lot of people out there who've gone through something like this, who are really moved to see, really moved at the idea of a book being published addressing this topic, and especially one that is child-centred and child-focused.
And do you feel that even more strongly now, Matthew? I mean, you're a dad of two very young children,
yeah.
I think a three-year-old and a two-week-old. Do you feel that even more strongly yourself now?
I absolutely do, yeah. I think, we were going through the process of preparing my older son for the arrival of his baby brother over the last few months, which certainly brought a lot of stuff back for me. Mm. And he's three, so he's you know, obviously with every age as a child, they have a different level of awareness and understanding of things. So he was in a different kind of position to what I was in when I was five or six. But, I feel very strongly that just the value of this book, and it's such a difficult thing for children to process death of any sort. If you're fortunate, your first encounters with death as a child will be with grandparents dying, and then there's a kind of way of understanding that, you know, people get old and this is very sad, but it's what's supposed to happen. So if you're fortunate as a child, you get a sort of gentle introduction to death. My first encounter with death was the death of this baby, which was a very confusing experience. And I'm sure it's a confusing experience for adults to experience it as well. But as a child, you don't have the psychological or emotional skills developed to cope. So the book was hugely important for me in that respect. And I hope it will be, you know, really helpful for other children in their trying to come to terms with this kind of confusing and difficult experience.
And Siobhan, I was reading it last night. It's really sensitively written, but it's not sentimental. It's not a fairy tale version of Lost in Greek. No. I love the story as well. You've met children along the way who knew the book or shared similar experiences. Tell me about that rural school experience.
Yeah, there was a lovely thing that happened. It was quite a long time now ago. I went to a small rural school on a normal, you know, author visit to schools. It happens all the time. And the children asked me to read All Shining in the Spring. And I never read All Shining in the Spring because it's very, you know, it's a book that you would only read in certain situations. It's meant for a certain situation, and I would never bring it into a classroom and read it. But they asked for it, and I looked at the teacher, and the teacher said, it's okay, I've already read it to them. And they really were impressed by it, and they responded very well to it. I presume that there must have been some kind of an experience somewhere in somebody's family. So I read the story, and you could have heard a pin drop. It was amazing. They were absolutely silent listening to it. And at the end, a little girl came up to me and she said, when the teacher read this story to us before, I felt a pain in my heart flew away. And it was a pain I didn't even know I had in my heart, but it flew away. She said, I went home to my mummy that evening and I told her about the story, and I told her about this feeling that I had. And she said, when you were very small, that happened in our family. So that child had been carrying, as she called it, a pain in her heart that she didn't even know she had. And then this kind of released it for her. So if that's the only child that is affected by this book, I think I've done something worthwhile.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure she won't be the only child. I know there are lots of children for whom this will bring some measure of comfort. I mean, you can't take it away. You can't take the pain away. You can't take the confusion. Well, you can help to take confusion away by explaining it very carefully, but you can't take the pain away and you can't take the loss away, but you can at least bring some measure of comfort.
Just before I let you both go, I'm conscious that next Saturday, it would have been Daniel's 30th birthday. How will you both mark it? Siobhan, you first. Do you mark it?
I would just say, Miriam, it is Daniel's 30th birthday. That's how we think of it. We always call it Daniel's birthday. We don't...
Don't worry.
We don't... We don't ever call it an anniversary. We always call it a birthday. So what we do is we always light a candle, you know, and we just have a few moments silence and then we get on with our day. You know, it's not a huge thing, but it's a nice thing. And the first time we did this, we were passing by a church and it was his first birthday or second birthday or something. And I said to Matthew, let's go into the church and light the candle, because there's something really kind of solemn about going into the church and all the candles are lighting and it's really a nice ritual. So we lit the candle in a church on that particular occasion and we kind of just stood there for a little while. We talked about Daniel and then we came out onto the street again and Matthew said, now, he said, that's his birthday present. And I thought, that's a lovely way to look at it. So that's what we do. That's his birthday present.
And Matthew, I assume you will also light a candle on his birthday.
I light a candle, yeah, always, in the evening usually, and probably just send a text to my parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, this time it'll be also marking the date of publication of the book, which will be really nice.
And yeah. Actually, on that, All Shining in the Spring, which is this book, The Story of a Baby Who Died by Hugh Siobhan Parkinson, it's published by Little Island. It's only €9, and anyone can find it online at littleisland.ie or from your nearest local bookshop. Siobhan, Matthew, thanks both so much for taking your time to chat to me this morning.
Thank you very much, Miriam. Thank you.
Mind yourself. Bye-bye. We'll take a break.